Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki Balancing Form and Essence. As you know, from listening to the last few shows, I've been in South America, and it was like a gold mine for me about interviews. You know, all these years I've done the radio show, I've always wanted to connect with people in this part of the world, Latin America. And it seemed quite difficult because I believe that in the tradition of oral tradition, that it's important to meet people and to be able to ask people directly, would you be willing to interview for the radio show? So we've been so blessed with a number of wonderful interviews, and I hope that it gives you a kind of flavor of not only the similarities of Reiki practice all over the world, but also the subtle differences that happen and the wonderful cadence of Portuguese and of Spanish, the languages of South America. Anyway, perhaps one day we'll get an indigenous language, but I haven't met anybody like that yet. So perhaps in the future. We have today with us Juanita Alamos, and she's from Chile, and she speaks beautiful English, so we won't have an interpreter today. But I met her when I was in Santiago at the end of my trip in South America. I've been back a couple of weeks now, and Juanita has been kind enough to consent to be interviewed. So Juanita, please welcome to the show.
Thank you, Phyllis. Thank you very much for inviting me. It's a pleasure for me to be in your show.
Thank you. And Juanita, as all my interviews, I would love for you to tell us about how you met Reiki.
Well, I think after a lifelong of dealing with patients, because I'm a medical doctor, I'm a pediatrician, after my parents died in a car accident, I decided I had to do something for myself. So in the first place, I thought of Reiki as a gift for myself, as a moment of mourning, and it was exactly 1 year after my parents passed. So I made a research, and I found this wonderful master, which is Patricio Senko, and he was giving that first level workshop on the right exact anniversary of my parents' death. So I felt this was a moment for myself. This was a weekend for myself. I also had two children to deal with at the same time as being a medical doctor. So it was like returning into myself to deal with anger, with fear, with a lot of things that were happening to me at that moment. And also I felt maybe it was a very nice, interesting, new tool to later on use it on other people. Mm-hmm. So this is how I met Reiki.
Mm-hmm. And how long ago was this?
This was 21 years ago.
Wow. How wonderful.
It was in April 91.
And can you tell me, I assume that you can remember back that far. Can you tell me, what was it like for you to feel Reiki in your hands for the first time?
It was, when I made the first degree, I thought this was much more than I expected for myself and for other people. Much more, which I didn't have any expectations, to be honest. I just wanted to have a moment of insight and maybe something else, maybe in some moment, because I didn't know if that would, I mean, I was not sure. When I took the workshop, the first level, if it was going to work with me, because I was a medical doctor, maybe too rational kind of thing. So, I don't know. And this is exactly
right.
What I said. know if you have had other doctors that have told you the same thing, maybe. So, but this felt a little bit overwhelming in many ways, because I felt like the empowering that I felt inside of me, and also things started to happen with Reiki and my medical practice also, because as a medical doctor, you have to touch people. You have to, you cannot stop Reiki from flowing out of you. I mean,
right,
totally.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. It starts working without your permission, so to say. So I started noticing that asthma attacks were milder, that parents were feeling quite easily more comforted and more acceptance of the instructions, more kind of following. I mean, it was like an empowering process, which was, and I have to say it to you, and I have to tell it to the audience, it was frightening in the first moment.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like it was everything I needed was the first level, because it was a very powerful tool. And I felt so afraid to use it in the wrong way. I don't know if Reiki can be used the wrong way. I don't know. Maybe it is independent from your intentions, and I hope so. So I didn't work. I have not worked as a Reiki therapist. So I have used it as another tool in my medical practice. I don't charge for Reiki.
Mm-hmm. And can you tell us a story about how Reiki, in those early days, what happened? I mean, you've listed many different ways that Reiki affected you in your practice, but I'm just interested in if you have a specific story, because those are always interesting for us.
Well, I'm quite afraid of telling things like these, because sometimes people can misunderstand it as I am talking like kind of histories kind of things, but there's a very interesting anecdote which led to the mother of the patient taking immediately the Reiki, the level one immediately, I mean, the month away from this. There was this child, it was a 3-year-old child with an appendectomy. So I went to the operation. I'm a pediatrician, I'm not a surgeon, so to say. But still, it was a Saturday, I had some time, and I wanted to be with the mother because she was very afraid. Because it was a very young kid, you know.
Right.
And, well, the girl came out of the surgery, and she was breathing very with quite a problem, and it did not depend of the cannula, you know, of the and so I started talking with the mother, which was on the other side of the bed, and I, without doing anything else, I just gave Reiki to the throat without touching the girl. I mean, while I was talking to the mother, and immediately the sound, which was not a normal sound, it was like a roaring kind of sound, it stopped immediately. And it was instantly, you know. And the mother took my hand and she interrupted me and she said, "What did you do? You did something to my girl, and that was not medicine."
Mm-hmm.
I blushed, you know. I blushed because I couldn't do anything else, because she was, nothing else in the medical area to be done right that moment, because everything had been done already.
Uh-huh.
And I was just, without touching the girl, I was just doing, I mean, on with my hand on the throat, on the neck, you know. And the mother took my hand, almost a little bit afraid. And she said, "What did you?" So I explained to her, I gave her Reiki. And she said, "I have to have that. Can I have that?" "Yes, of course, this is open to everyone. But you have to take, to make a workshop, and to have a full weekend of insight, and for maybe healing yourself first and everything." And she took it the next month. And she's a lawyer, you know. She and her husband are lawyers both. So.
Uh-huh.
I was a little bit afraid, of course. So this is, I think, the most impressive history I have lived through with Reiki. And this was shortly after it must have been in the 94, for example, 3 years after I started using Reiki for my patients.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Wonderful. Well, you know, it's interesting. When you talk about it being a little scary, is that your word that you're using, or a little afraid? I think that's really honest, and I really appreciate your willingness to say that, because I think that, you know, the unknown is can be very scary, and it's really interesting to have an experience that is totally outside your regular normal experience of everything. And that's one of the things that Reiki does, is it gives us this paranormal experience, in the sense of it's very different. And then it opens us to the possibilities of the universe. That's how I kind of catalog it in my head. And I don't know if that is the same for you, that having these experiences of being just on the edge of everything is really good, and opens oneself up to the next step.
I think in my case, I feel a little bit of vertigo. You know, I don't know if it's the right word to say, but it makes me feel more humble about it.
Uh-huh.
Because it doesn't depend on me. It doesn't depend on my, it works parallel, you know, or through me. But I have nothing to do with it in the orienting kind of thing. But it makes me feel more humble. It makes me feel more smaller. I don't know if it's the right way, if it's the right expression. But I think there are some people that feel that they are the ones who get the power, and they are the powerful ones. I don't feel that way with Reiki. I feel that Reiki works in one way. I'm doing my best as a medical doctor, I hope so. And sometimes I use these other tools, which work in spite of me.
Right.
You know, and I feel, I think some very interesting thing happened to me after I took Reiki. I became very aware of the small role that we as humans play on this earth. I don't think I'm coming, other than I'm also coming from a culture that's very much into the feeling that we all come from the sky, we all come from the blue energy and everything. And I don't know if you have heard of Mapuche Cosmovision, which is where we all Chileans, I mean 85% of Chileans, we all have some Mapuche blood in us.
Really?
Really.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah. You know, when I was, I went south, my first time I was in Chile, and I met the Mapuche then, and we went to a tribal site where they had Mapuche food, and we met people, and it was really, really lovely. And the really great thing is that I was so drawn to the culture. It was really wonderful, and I didn't realize that the indigenous had been so interconnected with the immigrants who came to Chile.
Oh, yes, because immigration started very early, and there was only warriors coming, only men. And Mapuche women were very nice, very beautiful, and very clean. We used shampoo for cleaning our hair, for example, during a time where the Spaniards didn't know about soap.
Interesting.
It was a problem for the girls here, for Mapuche girls also, and Mapuche women have the heritage. So they keep their heritage while they are married. So the only way of getting the land from the Indians was marrying the daughters of the chiefs. What the Spaniards did not know is that chiefs were elected every 2 years, so the daughters of the chief could change. But it's an interesting culture we come from, and they are really closed up. I mean, they don't share their intimacy so quickly. I have spent the last 10 years trying to get there. I think if you read Mapuche poetry, you will understand. Later on, we can talk about poetry.
Well, that's interesting. We can talk about it now. What is Mapuche poetry like?
Well, it's very universal because the language is a very comprehensive language. It's a very complex language also, but it is a language of concept. It's descriptive, but also is about concepts. For example, there are over 20 words for calling the water. So water can be calm, water can be flowing very quickly, water can be cold, water can be boiling, water can be of many, but all these kinds of water have different names in Mapuche culture. So they understand immediately what I talk about. Mm-hmm. And for example, grandmother from the mother's side has one name and the grandmother from the father's side have a different name. So the connection with the family is very close, and the connection from grandmother's grandparents, so to say, with the grandchildren is very important. So it's a long story. Maybe it's a very long issue. I mean, we come from this culture. And although Mapuche cosmovision says that we come from the blue, we come from especially the blue that is 1 hour before the sunrise.
Beautiful.
Kind of blue is the of the people here. Mm. So this is what they say, and this is in the Orient, of course, no?
Mm-hmm.
So all the houses have their doors oriented to the sun, to the place where the sun comes out. Mm-hmm. So this is a very, very deep religious conception, which is not the traditional religion, of course. This is a religious, more spiritual connection that's what we have. In Chile, we have 2 Nobel Prizes of Literature. Those are the only Nobel Prizes that we have. So poetry, both of them poets, of course, Gabriela Mistral in the 45 and Pablo Neruda in the 71. So this is what we are. We are poets deep inside everyone. Thank you.
Wow, great. Wonderful. Well, and what's interesting for me is that, you know, the Japanese language and the Chinese language are also conceptual languages. They don't, so it's very difficult, for instance, to translate the Japanese into English, because English is such a definitive language. And on the contrast, Japanese is such a conceptual language that there's a lot that can be missed in the interpretations and translations if you're not aware of that. So that's interesting that also was the same for you all in Chile. So it's just a nice connection.
Oh yes, I didn't know that. I mean, I knew that, but I didn't know it was so similar.
Yes, I
speak Mapudungun. I just know several words because it was forbidden for a long time. It's very hard to learn it. I mean, anyway.
Right. So back to Reiki. So when Reiki came to Chile, it felt like it was fitting in with already the Aboriginal or ancestral medicine that you already had there. Do you think that's true?
Maybe, because but it is more. I mean, it's what traditional medicine in the Mapuche Aboriginal area does not involve healing. They only help. It must be very much like Reiki in the way that they help the person to heal herself or himself.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Reiki helping the suffering people or people who are looking for something to find it inside themselves. I mean, I think Reiki is it's a tool for you to find the healing inside of you. This is my view.
Mm-hmm. So, I really love this little tangent we went on about the Mapuche because, you know, it was interesting, I think, although I don't know for sure, I think that actually Chile was the first South American country that Reiki came to. And it came because of a connection that is there between Germany and Chile. Somehow, and I'm not very, very clear on this, there was a big German colony in Chile, and it had to do with shipping, with things going by the ocean. And I know that a lot, that the first masters in Chile came from Germany through this family, these family connections. And Reiki began to be taught there very, very early in the 1980s. So it's interesting, and I don't know if anybody has a reflection on this, but it's interesting that it came, that Reiki came to this culture that would have been open to Reiki in the first place because of the Mapuche foundation of ancestral medicine and thought.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm wondering how it was, how it's been for you all these years to hold the energy of Reiki and the principles of Reiki in your medic practice, and if there's ever been any conflict for you.
Well, I mean, Reiki is something that is present for me in the everyday practice, but also on myself. I use self-treatment almost every other day, and because my life is my as a medical doctor and some other things that I'm involved in very deeply also, and as a mother and everything, I have only a few moments for myself, and I enjoy those moments very deeply. So I try to keep in touch with myself, not dissolve myself into all the tasks that I'm into during the day. So I take every day at a time. I have to plan because I have to organize my schedule and everything, but I try to take everything the way it comes. And mm-hmm. this leaves getting some connection with myself is really very important. Mm-hmm. So other than that, during the examination of the patients, I use Reiki also. I think it has made me a better person, not only maybe a little better as a medical doctor. Maybe I'm more open to the parents' anxieties and fears, and also I'm very aware of some other motivations that they might have. So I think I have, Reiki has made me more close to the patients, but also has helped me to keep the distance, to be clear about things. So I think you have to have both sides of a situation when you are working with a ill person, not only to heal the person, but to cure the person. And that's one problem that I felt with using Reiki, because the healing is not the same as the cure. And yes, as a medical doctor, you are distorted sometimes and you look for the cure.
Right.
And that's not always the same. So when you use Reiki, you look for healing. And in my case, it helps the cure easily, more than it was before. But this is not what I use Reiki also as a diagnostic tool sometimes, because it helps me to feel when I examine what in my hands is happening. And sometimes I feel things and I have to investigate furthermore in the places that I have the feeling. And sometimes I discover very interesting things, digging inside of places which you would not do normally because of the feeling. So it's all these things happen when I don't know if it happens to all doctors. I'm really interested in what happens to other medical doctors that use Reiki as a tool and not working as Reiki therapists being doctors. I don't know if the difference is clear for the audience or for you. I'm still a medical doctor, a traditional medical doctor. Still, I use Reiki as another tool, another therapeutic and diagnostic tool.
Mm-hmm.
I am not intending to leave the medical practice. But I think this is a very it's too powerful tool, and I feel that maybe people should be aware of this power before feeling that the power comes from them.
Right. Well, I'm pretty clear about your difference. I think that it's really an important difference, because quite often people think that if a medical doctor has Reiki, that they should be giving their patients Reiki treatments. And that, for me, is a misunderstanding in some way. It's like, I really like your attitude and the way that you work with Reiki, because for me, this is honoring your own profession as well as the practice of Reiki. And if there are some doctors who actually have a Reiki practitioner connected with their office, so that if a patient would need or desire to have a series of Reiki treatments, they would go to the Reiki practitioner rather than to the doctor, but it would be under the doctor's care. And I think that this is a really respectful relationship that has occurred. I don't know if you thought about this for yourself.
I have here in Viña del Mar, where I live, there is another Reiki therapist, which is my friend since a long, very long time. I believe I met her during the time that I made my Reiki, my first level of Reiki.
Uh-huh.
She is an Usui Reiki 1 practitioner also. And not only I recommend her to people who need a Reiki treatment, but also I have asked her to give Reiki to my mother, my second mother, because I was honored to have two mothers, and my second mother, which was the first, the best friend of my mother when she died, she became my second mother. Mm-hmm. When she became ill 2 years ago, Sylvia, I asked her, and she said, are you aware that this might mean that this will be faster? And I said, of course I'm aware. Let it be what it has to be, but help her ease the pain. Help her to go away in peace, and help her to be going away without pain, mm-hmm. without suffering. And it was very fast. It was only 10 days after the diagnosis of the cancer.
Mm-hmm.
She was prepared to go, you know. She was a master herself. My second mother was a very, very interesting person. And she was open to Reiki. She became open to Reiki. She had never, ever before wanted to receive Reiki. And she, in that moment, she said, yes, now I need Reiki. And
wow.
She received Reiki every day until she passed away. So it was, I don't know if it was because of Reiki, but anyway, it was a quiet, peaceful death.
Beautiful. I feel that one of the places where we see differences in this, besides this healing and curing aspect, is the place of death in our lives. And I feel that Reiki teaches us that death is a part of life and a part of healing. And
yeah, I think I know. I cannot say I know. I hope so.
Well, it has seemed so in a lot of people's experience, that's all. Mm-hmm. That in having Reiki, that many people have wonderful completing experiences with their family with whom they have been estranged, or they are afraid, and then all of a sudden they become very peaceful in themselves. So it's, you know, it's all very wonderful, I think. This whole process of accepting that death is a part of life.
Well, my Tita was not my mother. She was a very rational person.
Uh-huh.
And she was a very skeptic person also. And she kept her mind 100% until the very day that she died. So the day before dying, she said to me, that Reiki had been so wonderful every day, but except that day, because she said it was so crowded in my bedroom. There were so many people here wanting to be with me. And Sylvia told me the night before, this Tita told me right the day before dying, and Sylvia called me and she said, I felt the presence of so many people here. Tita will be welcomed wherever she's gonna go. And there was nobody else in the room. But my aunt felt it was crowded. She felt the presence of other people, and she was not an esoteric person, not a mystic person, not a religious person. She was atheist, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
So, and she felt, for her, the presence of those, what say, whatever it was so concrete that it disturbed her during her Reiki treatment. But there was no one there. But Celia, the therapist.
Mm.
So she told me, Celia said, it be very soon. She is being called. She's a very receptive person also, Sylvia. What's the name of Sylvia, the therapist? I send my patients to.
Beautiful. What a beautiful story.
It's a very moving moment. I mean, telling that, because I had forgotten about this until we started talking about my mother, my
mm-hmm.
second mother. She was a social worker, and she was 80. She became 85 June 30, and she died July 7th,
mm-hmm.
2006.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a diagnosis on the 17th of June. She lived for 20 days after the diagnosis that
mm-hmm.
she had. A week before, she had to the pool.
Wonderful.
Incredible. Yeah.
Yes, really incredible. Beautiful. Well, these are the kind of experiences that lead me to come to the conclusion that we can welcome death as much as we can welcome birth in some way. It isn't that we don't feel loss or we don't feel pain of loss, but it's like it's a passage, and I feel like birth is a passage and death is a passage, and what lies before and behind our life here on earth is a big question mark, and there's lots of theories, and I, in my time with Reiki, I've come to change a lot of my thinking about the question mark part, like what came before and what came after. And I'm wondering if that's true for you.
Of course. That's why my turning point in my life was the death of my parents.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an only child. I don't have brothers and sisters. And I felt so abandoned. I was 35 years or 36 years at that moment, so I was not a child, you know. I was grown up with responsibilities and a professional, two kids to take care of and everything.
Right.
But I felt there, I wanted to know more, and I wanted to find some help to deal with the anger in the first place. Of feeling so abandoned, and to feel with a fear, because when everything is going okay, everyone is healthy and everyone and everything, not after a long disease, and suddenly you lose your loved one from one moment to the other.
Mm-hmm.
You still have the hope to find somewhere the hope that they are okay. And that you will be okay someday,
right,
after this mm-hmm. life. And this is my sound heretic to you, it's hard for me to believe in reincarnation. I don't feel that I believe in reincarnation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm convinced also, you know, but you know, there are many things that we don't know about the human soul and the energy behind it. Why Reiki is maybe connecting your own internal energy to something else that might be the reason of that energy. And that's where it happens again to me. Wow.
Right. Well, I think that this is really a wonderful opportunity in this moment when we are in Reiki to make peace with the kind of trauma that you had after following your parents' death, which I totally can relate to. I don't think that it matters how old you are. Abandonment would definitely be an issue. And the other thing is that sometimes we feel that because our whole universe has been shaken so badly that we lose faith in our life and in God, and that's really a fundamental process, and to come to peace with that is very beautiful.
Yes, and I'm very grateful because I started my process of finding peace. I don't know if I will ever end that process,
right,
you know. But it started with Reiki. I think it would have been much more difficult, all this process of being in peace, without Reiki. I can't
right.
imagine without Reiki.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Juanita, for your time and your sharing. It's beautiful.
Well, thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to meet all of you out there. And I'm not an English speaking person, so I learned English at school, and I have many accents in my English. I hope everyone understood. So I'm very happy that I met you. I mean, that day that you, and it was very important moment, and I'm looking forward to seeing you again.
Great. And me to you. Thank you. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.